Hello, and welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans. I'm David Bailey, and over the past nearly 12 years, this podcast has taken on many forms, from interviews and audio diaries to cultural snapshots and expat reflections. You might notice some different podcast names mentioned along the way, but it's all part of the same journey, one that explores life, people, and stories from this fascinating region I now call home. If you're enjoying the listen, I'd love it if you left a quick review or rating wherever you get your podcasts. It really helps others discover the show. And if something in the episode sparks your interest or curiosity, why not drop me a message? I always enjoy hearing from listeners. I always reply.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans podcast with me, David Pacinovic Bailey. In this podcast, you'll get a unique look at life in Bosnia and Herzegovina through my eyes, the eyes of an immigrant. Each episode, I share my experiences living in this often misunderstood country and introduce you to some of the interesting people I've met along the way. From exploring the rich culture and history to discussing the challenges and joys of immigrating to a new country, this podcast offers a thoughtful and engaging look at life in the Western Balkans.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe giving us a tip or becoming a member of our podcast family. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast. Thanks again for listening. We really do appreciate it.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans, the podcast that takes you on a captivating journey into the heart of Bosnia and Herzegovina and the wider Western Balkans. Each episode, we delve into the rich history, vibrant culture, and hidden gems of this beautiful country. Through engaging conversations and personal anecdotes, we aim to bridge the gap between the Balkans and the rest of the world. So sit back, relax, and get ready to be inspired, entertained, and connected.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe giving us a tip or becoming a member of our podcast family. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast. Thanks again for listening. We really do appreciate it.
Where did the sun go? I really don't know. 2 weeks in Montenegro and hiding from the sun. And as you know, if you're following the podcast, we had to come back to Banja Luka. And then it starts to rain, and I'm thinking, why is it raining? And then it dawns on me that there could be some Brits in town, because it's the 2015 European Championships, Rafting Championships, again, being hosted for a second time, I believe, here in Karanovac, just south of Banja Luka. So I braved the wet. Drove down from the village today, and whilst looking around and getting, thank you very much to the club, my press accreditation, I see this union flag on somebody's T-shirt, and the accent is so amazingly, I don't know, warming. Cut long story short, bumped into Steve. Steve is going to tell us a little bit about himself. He's not a boring Brit. He does a lot of exciting things in his life, but he's here because his son is part of one of the rafting team. So first of all, Steve, you're not a newbie as far as the Balkans is concerned.
No, not at all. I'm fortunate enough to travel around the Sarajevo area and Luknovic area about 3 or 4 years ago, doing a survey for Ramblers Worldwide Holidays to look at bringing English people out here on trekking holidays.
That's amazing. Because I've always thought that Brits don't really want to come to the Balkans, but you've actually come before to find places where they might want to come.
Ramblers Worldwide Holidays is a company that's 60 years old, or a little bit older than 60 years old, and Ramblers' motto is explore the world on foot. It's better on foot. They already go to Montenegro, they go to Slovenia, but they didn't have a holiday in Bosnia. So I was sent over to survey the country, look at hotels, look at the food, find out whether it's possible to have a week's walking holiday in a country such as Bosnia. The problem I found, it was 6 or 7 years ago when I came, walking off the beaten track was not advisable because a lot of landmines were everywhere still. So I had to hire a local guide, and that local guide was working for a company called Green Link, and they were based in Sarajevo. And he took me on numerous walks during my period there for a week, which I then put the holiday together, and it went in a Rambler's brochure. I have no idea what they sold many holidays to Bosnia, but I know the hotels and the walks were good enough for Ramblers, but I don't know whether people were put off by the fact that the unexploded landmines everywhere.
Yeah, that's always a thing when people talk about Bosnia. When guests come to visit me, it's, do I need a helmet, do I need body armour, are there landmines? Yeah, there are, but that issue has been cleared up. But today, you're here because your son is about to arrive, maybe in an hour and a half's time, after doing a 14 kilometre, that's got to be an endurance raft from Krupa na Vrbasu. So, Steve, first thing, you've been talking to me before we recorded this, and you are so passionate about rafting. So how did you get involved in this?
I started kayaking and climbing at the age of 16 when at school. I'm a veteran of, I'm 60 years old. I've been on many, many climbing expeditions as a leader of expeditions and major expeditions around the world. I've rafted in all the major areas. As a climber, it's hard work climbing. And after climbing, we sometimes use the white water rafting to relax. For instance, in Peru, we have climbed Huascarán, the highest mountain in Peru. And to relax, we then raft the Urubamba River for 2 days. Same as in Nepal. There's so many rafting rivers in Nepal. You come off the highest mountains in the world. It's nice to relax. And I've got into rafting on a recreational side. My son left university and he was looking for a job. And I got him a job at the Lee Valley White Water Centre in England, which hosted the Olympic Games. From then, Charlie has got on from kayaking to rafting. He then became a member of the British rafting team because they were based there. Now this year, he's captain of the British first team. And they're out here competing in the European Championship. So really, I've got involved in competitive rafting because my son Charlie has been involved, and I've come along to support GB and the team.
We were discussing the fact that Charlie was most probably going to go off to Indonesia, and there's a competition in China, and I flippantly said, oh, what a great job to have. But the thing is, it's not his full-time job, is it?
No, not at all. Charlie works for a company in Hartford which looks after supplying major petrochemical companies with valves. He did a three-year course at Norwich University, got a degree, travelled for a year with his girlfriend, came back and got a serious job. Now he's got this position in the UK team. Every penny has to be found by himself. His flights, his hotel, his food, his accommodation. There's no sponsorship involved at all, and no money comes in from any major government body for it. It's a non-Olympic sport, so therefore there's no funding. And it's the same for the girls, it's the same for the youth teams. It's just a pity that it's not an Olympic event, because therefore it would become in the forefront of the British sports and get money coming in.
But today, we're going to see Britain being represented by veteran rafters, by male, by the women's team. So far, the women have actually taken, I believe, a silver and a bronze, or a silver and a gold. And that has got to be something that is really important, you know, when you talk about flying the flag. It seems scandalous that they're not getting any money for doing it.
Well, it's afraid that's one of the... Just not the only minor sport in the country. There's lots of minor sports that need self-funding. I have a very good friend of mine. She's a cross-country runner, and she runs for Great Britain. She runs against Romania. She has to buy her own trainers. She has to buy her own shorts. She has to buy her own airfare to get to Romania to run for Team GB in the national cross-country. Even though it's part of British athletics, cross-country was not one of the races that got sponsored, like the 100 metres we all see, or the mile. Those records are breakable and exciting. Cross-country is not. And Sharon Morris is her name, from Welwyn Garden City. She had to pay everything for herself. So it's a minor sport, and unfortunately they're not funded.
You were saying that they do manage to get things like jackets, T-shirts, buoyancy aids. I suppose that their paddles and rafts are also provided.
Absolutely. Any company that's worth its weight in gold to them, in the fact is that they can supply the equipment. Peak UK, they've supplied all the buoyancy aids with a Union Jack on them. They've got kegs, over kegs, to stop the cold and the wet. They've got Union Jacks printed on the sleeves. That has been given to them. But everything else, they have to supply themselves. The boats are from the Canyon Club here. They don't have to bring their own boat over. They all use the same boat to make it fair. It's a bit like Formula One. The boats are regulated. You can't have a boat that's thinner or smaller. Everybody paddles with the same equipment. Then there is an even playing field to start off with. So they don't bring their boats over, but they do have to pay for everything else themselves when they get here.
Today they're going to be launching themselves from Krupa Navabasua, which I think is 14 kilometres up the river. Then they're going to race down. And we were discussing the times. They're going to be shifting at one hell of a rate.
Yeah, it is a long endurance test. It's a down river race, so they're running against the clock. They will race through the rapids, where yesterday they were going backwards up the rapids in a slalom. Today they'll be going hell for leather straight down the river as fast as they can go. The Bosnian local club here run the river in just under a minute from that, at 57 seconds or 54 seconds, I'm not quite sure. But looking at the times posted already, the British veteran team, or they call them the Masters team, posted under a minute. So we are looking at times, I should imagine, of 55 minutes.
That's scary. I mean, my muscles are aching just thinking about it.
Yeah, it's going to be tough because a lot of the river is flat. There's only narrow sections of rapids which will speed you along at great speed, but the rest of the river is flowing really flat, so they will have to keep up a continuous paddle rate non-stop for the whole of the run, which is 14 k's, and they will be very, very tired when they get here.
You've been around the world. You were telling me about climbing in the Himalayas. You've been in the Andes, in Alaska and other places doing what you do, and you've been following your son and even in a recreational basis with rafting. So you've seen a lot of different locations. You've seen a lot of organisations. Bosnia is a very small country, just under 3.5 million people, poverty-stricken almost, totally dysfunctional. Without pulling any punches, the organisation here?
I think the organisation here has been better than I expected. Last year in Slovakia, watching the races there was a stadium, there was a man-made artificial circuit, and everything was so easy because it was on hand. We've had to watch the rafting from a road that's high, it's a high pass going up through the canyon. But to have the ability to call the police in and shut that road off for 2 days while spectators and paddlers can stand on that road and watch this sport, I think the power of rafting in Bosnia has shown something, that they can shut a major road. The organisation here, I think, has been as good as it could possibly be with the circumstances. Their stadia, or should we say the seating and stadiums that were in the valley, got washed out in the flood last year, so there was nowhere for spectators to stand bar on the road. And this was manned by the army and the police, making sure people were safe. All the athletes have been given food here. The presentation for the medals, the opening ceremony, is all been as expected. I don't think they could do a lot more with the facilities they got.
On a personal level, the Balkans, do you see them getting out of their rut of being sort of like in the backwards of Europe, or do you think they're going to be stuck here for some time? I mean, you have been here a few times before.
Wow. I've spent much of my life, 16 visits to Nepal, which is a third world country. I've been in Peru 3 times, which is a third world country. There's aspects of Bosnia I look at that look third world, but this is not a third world country. In India, in Nepal and Peru, they call themselves developing nations. I would say Bosnia has gone past that stage. It is developed, but it's not developing fast enough. I think a lot more could be done here in the terms of modernization of facilities, road repairs, repairs to buildings that you see that the maintenance doesn't seem to play a part in their daily routine. It's built, and when it's worn out, it's left worn out. I think Bosnia can get there, but I think it needs an awful lot of change to get it there.
And finally, you were saying Charlie's off to do another race soon. You actually have your own company. You're most probably going to be with your son. What is next for you and for him?
Charlie's 23 years old. And when he was 12 and 14, I used to take him kayaking. And when we used to leave our house, my wife used to say to me, make sure you look after that boy, won't you? Because, you know, I want him back safely. Now Charlie's 23, and when we go on holiday, she says to him, look after Dad, won't you? Because he's so much better at it than I am. Charlie's going to be in China representing Great Britain in a two-man rafting competition, which is being paid for the Chinese, which is the first competition ever paid for by another country because they want to introduce rafting on their white waters in China. So he's a very lucky lad to get that. In November, end of November, beginning of December, he's in the World Championships, which is in Indonesia. We're going to support him in that, which it costs us a lot of money as a family because we're going as a whole family. Charlie's got to pay for that himself. But in the meantime, after that, I've got a party climbing and flying parapents in Slovenia in August. So my next trip is in August for a week, and then it's Indonesia to support the British team.
Steve, thanks for giving us your time today.
Pleasure.
And that's a wrap for this podcast. We hope you've enjoyed finding out a little more about both Bosnia and Herzegovina and the wider Western Balkans. If you've enjoyed this journey as much as we enjoy bringing it to you, please take a moment to leave us a review and subscribe to our podcast. Your feedback helps us tremendously and makes a huge difference. Thank you once again for joining us, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe giving us a tip or becoming a member of our podcast family. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast. Thanks again for listening. We really do appreciate it.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans podcast with me, David Pacinovic Bailey. In this podcast, you'll get a unique look at life in Bosnia and Herzegovina through my eyes, the eyes of an immigrant. Each episode, I share my experiences living in this often misunderstood country and introduce you to some of the interesting people I've met along the way. From exploring the rich culture and history to discussing the challenges and joys of immigrating to a new country, this podcast offers a thoughtful and engaging look at life in the Western Balkans. So that's it for this one. Thanks for keeping me company. If you enjoyed the episode, maybe share it with a friend who might like it too. And if you've got thoughts, questions, or just want to say hello, you can always reach out. Also, if you'd like to support the podcast and help me keep telling these stories, you can drop a little tip via Buy Me a Coffee. The link is in the show notes. Even a euro or two makes a big difference. So that's it then. Take care, and I'll catch you in the next episode.